You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
I doubted that any Yankees were dancing queens last night. That's for sure. Anita Marks with you for the next 3 hours. We've got a jam-packed show for you, as always, on this Saturday afternoon. We're going to kick it off talking Yankees. I'll open up the phone lines, 800-919-3776. I'm sure you called in with Dave as well. Mike Triplett, who does a phenomenal job for ESPN covering the New Orleans. I lived in New Orleans for 3 years. I lived in the French Quarter, don't you know? Hence why my dog's names are jazz musicians. But nonetheless, Mike Triplett's going to join us. We'll dive into the Saints-Giants matchup. I'm not too optimistic about it. How about this? How about this for a statement? And by the way, we've got Ty and Jake who are producing the show. Guys, I feel more confident about the Jets beating the Tennessee Titans than I do the Giants beating the Saints. Should I drop my mic right now?
No, that's a fair I don't think that's a hot take.
You don't?
No.
I think any New York football team winning a game is a hot take.
Well,
yes.
I think that's a hot take.
No, it's not that you're predicting they would win. You're saying which team has a better chance. Is it the Giants going on the road to the 2-1 New Orleans Saints? That building is the first home game of the season for them, so essentially their home opener. Or is it the Jets playing a Titans team down their two best receivers? The Titans' defense isn't any good. Their offense is what's going to, you know, propel them if they have any success this year. They're down their two best receivers. So that makes sense. I don't think that's a hot take.
Yeah, but their offense, like, it begins and ends with Derrick Henry. Like, that's their offense. That's their offense. I mean, it's not like the Tennessee Titans were winning games before A.J. Brown and before Julio Jones.
Of course.
Right. So,
but they're still a compromised team.
They are a compromised team.
Jake actually joked that Derrick Henry's going to set the all-time rushing mark tomorrow.
Yeah, Anita, I don't know what the over-under is on Derrick Henry rushing yards, but it could be 300 yards. I'm taking the over.
I say 1,000.
I want to say it's up there. I want to say it's like 98 and a half. When we dive into our NFL talk, I will pull that stat up, and I don't know, maybe you and I will wager a bottle of wine. But I think it's a hot take. I'm curious. 800-919-37. I thought that was a hot take, Ty. All right. very interesting. We've got Cynthia Freeland is always at 1:30 with her NFL plays. We'll find out what does she think about the Giants and the Jets matchups. And obviously, you know, here's another one I want to dive into. Like, everybody's talking about Tom Brady going back to New England to take on the Patriots. I really think the game of the week is the Arizona Cardinals at the Rams. Like, I get the story of Tom Brady, but X's and O's, like football, man, is that Arizona Rams game just being overshadowed by the storyline? And I get it. I understand. We're all drama queens and drama kings. I get it. Everybody's going to be, I wouldn't be surprised if that Sunday night football game, NBC must be loving it, but which, by the way, kudos to NBC for their promo with Adele. The Adele song, Hello. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you guys seen the promo for it?
I haven't seen the promo. I obviously know the hit Adele song, but I haven't seen the promo. Tell us about the promo.
Do me a favor. Let's do this. In the break, I want you to call it up. I want you to call it up on Zoom. Or Zoom. Listen, I Zoom everything. I Zoom 100 times a day. I want you to call it up on Google and play it coming back. And you guys have to watch it. It's like, kudos to NBC. They crushed it. It has to be one of the best promos ever produced to hype up a football game heading into what I think will be the most watched Sunday night football game ever in the history of the NFL. I really, truly believe that.
I think I saw that there were local news stations actually doing broadcasts yesterday, like news, like hardcore news doing broadcasts yesterday from Foxborough. I think I saw Schefter tweet that out. This is a huge game.
I get it. But like, X's and O's, the biggest game this week is Arizona at the Rams. Like, that division. Here's another thing. Marinating this for a minute. The AFC West and the NFC West, there's a chance that those two conferences, and granted, keep in mind, it's 17-game schedule now. There's a chance that one of those conferences have all four teams advance to the postseason. Marinating that for a minute.
Oh, here it is, Anita. I'm sorry. Schefter tweeted this out yesterday. For the first time in franchise history, the Today Show and the NBC Nightly News are broadcasting from Gillette Stadium on Friday. prior to an upcoming Patriots game.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Really. Truly. David Sampson, former executive, who right now is running a marathon, okay? He's running a marathon, which he did the Ironman in Hawaii a few years back. He's got a really interesting story there. When he was in the water, he was bit by something in a not-so-pleasant spot, and you do your water first, and then he had to run, and then he had to bike, and when he got done, he had to go to the hospital. He was in the hospital for quite a few days after that. But anyway, David Sampson running a marathon right now. He's going to join us at 2 o'clock. Hopefully, he said his goal is to finish the marathon in under 5 hours. So that should be an interesting conversation. And then Joe Wiz, as always, with his college and NFL picks, is going to join us at 2:30. So as you can see, we've got a jam-packed show, but I want to lead, and I know we're already 9 minutes in, but I wanted to lead with what happened last night with the Yankees. Here's the thing. You know, I hosted the gambling show last night, We Can Wager. So we received quite a few calls on that show. You know, Yankee fans calling in, Boone's got to go. What was Boone thinking? Bringing in Abreu? What's happening? And you know, Ty, I read your notes today, and I didn't watch the post-game show because, again, I was hosting here until midnight. You'd said that Flaherty had said that really the call would have been to bring Chapman in to use in that spot as opposed to Abreu, especially with Judge, Stanton, and Gallo coming up in the lineup. Interesting. 800-919-3776. And I will say this again, and I can't wait to have David Sampson on at 2 o'clock or around. Let's hope that he finishes the marathon in under 6 hours. And that is, you know, how much of this is analytics? And I think it's interesting. I know I'm not going to compare the two. Football is different than baseball. But, you know, we just had this whole ordeal. Do I want to call it an ordeal? This whole, comment from Joe Judge this week that went viral, right? Like him talking about analytics and threw out Bill Gates's name and talking about Excel sheets and whatnot. Like, you know, analytics plays an important role in all sport. But unless there's also that human element. And Joe Judge, he acknowledged that, which I don't have a problem with what Joe Judge said this week. But here's the thing. A, we don't know how much of that human element is allowed with the Yankees in Boone. You know, there are organizations out there that, you know, regardless, the skipper has to go by the analytics team. Whatever the analytics team is telling the skipper to do, that's what he has to do. We don't know what that percentage is. And the number of beat reporters and just people who cover baseball that I've had on this show, I purposely ask them, hey, do you know, what in regard to the front office, in regard to, you know, how much do they rely on analytics? And everybody, Ty, you know, you produce a lot of my shows. You know it. Majority of people that we have on, what do they say? They say it's a lot for the Yankees. The Yankees rely a lot on analytics. So yeah, is it fair that we throw Boone under the bus when he's who knows how much he is handcuffed in regard to what he is told he has to do and who he needs to bring in? I'm just food for thought. I'm not sitting here defending Boone. I'm not. It's something to think of. It's something to consider. Okay? And I don't want to sit here and harp on last night because you know what? It's not over yet. It's not over yet. There's still a great chance. All the Yankees have to do is win one of the next two. That's it. They just have to win one of the next two games and they are in. Now, they win two? Great. They host the first, they host the wild card game. But even if they don't host the wild card game, how strong they are ending this regular season, hoping that they take one of the next two, or possibly two of the next two. I know it's not a favorable pitching matchup today with Montgomery going up against Shane Bad, who won 1.69 ERA. So I know the matchup and the Rays. Yes, the Rays do have the Yankees number. But a little too late last night. But they didn't give up the fight. I'm optimistic. I want to end the segment on this. If the season was to end today, unfortunately it will not. The AL wildcard game will be the Yankees at the Red Sox. The NL wildcard game would be the Dodgers at the Cards. The ALDS would be Astros, White Sox, Rays would then take on the AL wild card winner. The NLDS would be the Brewers against the Braves, and the Giants would take on the National League wild card game winner. That's where it stands right now, but a lot can change, as we know. 800-919-3776. We'll get your calls when we get back. Let's talk some Yankees, and then we'll switch gears around 12:30. We'll do a deep dive into that Giants-Saints game. And again, I think it's a hot take. I don't know. Maybe. I mean, I'm curious. Is it not a hot take? 800-919. I'm more confident that the Jets are going to beat the Tennessee Titans than I am the Giants to beat the Saints. I think that's a pretty hot take. If you don't, I want to know. Ty doesn't think it's a hot take.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN. Hello from the
other side. There we go. I must have called it 1,000 times. Tell you I'm sorry. Everything that I've done. I love it. Seem to be home anymore.
So we just watched the promo here.
Okay.
And if you're a Patriots fan or a Tom Brady Buccaneers fan, you should definitely be pumped up for this game.
Is that not one of the best promos ever? Right?
Definitely a very solid. Well done by NBC. Uh-huh.
So good. Do you think Sunday's game will be the most watched Sunday night football game in the history of the NFL? I mean, I know Sunday night football hasn't been around forever and a day, but still.
I do want to say this. I think the Sunday night games so far this season have all been, you know, excellent games. But this game with all of the, you know, drama and attention with Brady and Belichick, I wouldn't be surprised if it is the highest viewed Sunday night football game.
Listen, let's give a shout out to the Thursday night games. Usually Thursday night games are just poop. And this Thursday night, the last few weeks, the Thursday night games have been good. Okay? I mean, the Jaguars, who knew? Hopefully you tease the Bengals.
I was going to say, a rough start for Trevor Lawrence. Imagine that was in New York. I mean, Zach Wilson's not doing much better, but Trevor Lawrence, everyone kind of seemed a generational talent. I know the Jaguars are not good, but he has just as many NFL now.
It's not about
that he
Jake,
did
it's
in
not
high
about,
school and did you hear that stat?
Jake, it's not about wins or losses. Urban Meyer should not be an NFL coach. Urban Meyer is destroying the kid.
So you think after this year he's gone?
I think Trevor Lawrence looked great on Thursday night. Are you kidding? Like, his passes were amazing. He was accurate. He ran the ball well. And do you I didn't realize how big he is. Do you see him standing next to all the coaches? Who's that Disney prince? You know, the cartoon character with the Disney prince with the really profound, like the really like distinguished jawline. Do you know what I'm talking about? Anyway,
I was going to say, I'm not too educated on Disney princes.
Yeah,
but
I'm sure
you're making a great comparison.
Yeah, I'll Google it. I'll let you know. It's Prince something. Anyway, Jets fans, if you're coming to Sunday's game tomorrow against the Titans at MetLife Stadium, arrive early and be at the gates at least 1 hour prior to kickoff to avoid the lines. Before you get to the stadium, be sure you download your mobile tickets to your phone via the Jets app presented by Fubo Sportsbook. Fans should add tickets to their mobile wallets. For more information, visit nyjets.com/mobile ticketing. And also, important message for you. With the NHL and NBA season right around the corner, Comcast Xfinity has dropped MSG Network. Meaning, if you're a Comcast Xfinity subscriber in New Jersey or Connecticut, you will not, I repeat, will not be able to watch the Knicks, the Rangers, the Devils, or the Islanders on MSG this season. That is bogus. So visit keepmsg.com or call 833-KEEP-MSG to learn about other options in your area to avoid missing the entire season. Please make sure you do that. 800-919-3776. Let's go to your calls. Let's go to Andrew in Marble. Andrew, welcome in. Good afternoon.
Hey, thanks, Anita, for taking my call. Appreciate it. I'm a diehard Yankee fan. I'm going to defend Booney to some extent.
Okay.
So they're down one run, and your bullpen is tired, very tired. And you can't keep going to Chad Green, Aroldis Chapman, you know, every single Clay Holmes had already pitched. So, and you got to see what's there with Germán. He hasn't pitched in a while. And the first inning he pitched for them, which was, I guess, the eighth, he looked good. It's debatable whether he should have started a ninth. I mean, you had Lidke out there. I don't know that I would have gone to Chapman losing, but I just think it's endemic of what the Yankees have had. They just don't have enough good relievers. They've always had, you know, just the fact that they had Brooke Kresge and Nick Nelson and Abreu, these guys are not major leaguers, and that's been a story with the Yankees for a long time. They just there's just never enough talent in the bullpen. They're good, but they always need to be better. And when you start running out Brooke Kresge and Abreu, you're going to take the consequences. 9 out of 10 times you're going to lose. So, but we'll get them today or tomorrow. We're going to win. We're going to be in.
That's the thing, Andrew. Thank you for your phone call. I appreciate it. You know, you got to be optimistic. You got to be optimistic. Let's go to Richard in Manhattan. Richard, welcome in.
Anita, let me ask you a simple question.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have rather had, if you were the manager, Cortez going after 67 pitches, maybe 75, Cortez, few more pitches, or Abreu pitching that game? So you could have had Cortez with a few more pitches or put in Abreu. Who would you have gone to?
I don't, that's above my pay grade, Richard. So
my point is Cortez he took out too soon. When you take out your start, now you have to be stretched for the bullpen. That's the problem. He didn't have to take out Cortez. He only threw 67 pitches, gave up 5 hits in 5 innings. Let him go another 10, 15 pitches. If he bombs then, you got to take him. In other words, they make these moves before they have to, and then at the end, they run short. I didn't even know he was still on the team. I didn't know. This is the 7th game in a World Series, and you're bringing in Abreu? I mean, come on. That is crazy. Now, he pinch hits Sanchez. I'm not saying nothing negative about Sanchez, but he's not.
What do you mean? Him and Odor, they whiffed. They whiffed. Make contact. At least make contact.
On the ground. On Wednesday night, did you see Wednesday night? He uses Wright and Sanchez. Wright was so discombobulated. He struck out on a pitch on the ground, runs to first when it's first and second, up by ass to scream, you can't run. So what does he do? He stops short, twists his ankle. He's out for the year. And then he pinch hits Sanchez. And he, by the way, Wright pinch hit for Gardner. Sanchez pinch hit for Gardner. Gardner was 1 for 2 with an RBI. Why do you pinch hit the guy that's hot? He's been in
Richard,
the
Richard, Richard, you're asking questions we can't answer. Here's the one thing I want to ask you before I let you go. How confident are you that the Yankees are going to win one of the next two?
I'm always confident. Anita, can I give you a college football betting question? You have to ask your sports, your betting guy when he comes in.
Go ahead.
Notre Dame is undefeated, correct?
Right. I like Cincinnati today.
They're playing at home today, correct?
I like Cincinnati today.
Okay. They're playing at home, right?
Yep.
Notre Dame is playing at home and they're undefeated, correct?
I like Cincinnati today.
Okay. But you're not answering my question. Okay. Are they an underdog? You're giving Notre Dame a 1.5, correct?
Hold on 1 second.
They're 1.5 what underdogs? 1.5 underdogs. Okay.
No, Cincinnati. Cincinnati's getting Cincinnati. Richard. Cincinnati's getting 1.5.
Anita, Notre Dame, in the first time in their history, is playing a school, a non-power conference school, non-power, and undefeated at home, and they're underdogs. You're giving Notre Dame points. How could you not take Notre Dame on a hunch?
I'm taking Cincinnati. Richard, thanks for the call. I'm taking Cincinnati minus 1.5. I think Cincinnati wins outright. Covers, I should say. 800-919-3776. Actually, before, because we've got Michael Triplett, who covers the Saints, who's going to be joining us next. Let's get James before we do take a break and have Mike come on. James in Hackensack, welcome in. How you doing?
Hey, Anita, how are you?
Hi, good afternoon.
I have two hot takes. You know how you talked about the Jets have a better chance? I agree with you. I don't think it's a hot take because of what Ty said before. A lot of people are out for the Titans. But my hot takes are the Jets win more games than the Giants this year. And
Ooh. Also
Tom Brady catches a touchdown against the Patriots.
Hot take. Okay, wait. Before you hang up, who throws him the ball?
I was going to say Gronk, but Gronk is out. He's not playing.
Right. Gronk is, but which, by the way, ESPN alert, Gronk inactive, will be inactive tomorrow night for the game.
Maybe Antonio Brown?
Maybe. Okay. Well, I think that.
I know how you're a degenerate like I am for Tom Brady to catch a touchdown and the Bucks to win. It's like almost plus 9,600. It's crazy.
Interesting. James, I like the call, man. Solid call. Solid call.
This is Click, 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 or Don't. Click, Click, Boom. Very simply, here's the headline. Are you interested in clicking or not?
That's right. It's time for Click or Don't Click, a fun way that we take our tour around our wide, wide world of sport. We find out what is trending based on the headlines out there right now at 1:21 p.m. on this Saturday afternoon. Our producers lead the way, Ty and Jake. Gentlemen, what you got for us?
All right, Anita. So we actually alluded to this last segment. There is, I'm not going to say a hot seat because that would be ridiculous, but we should start to see the pressure to some degree mount for one Joe Douglas. We look at the roster, and right now the Jets are 0-3. If you finish 1-16 or 2-15, it means your roster is historically bad. So as much as it's not about quote-unquote wins and losses, what a play by Joey Gallo. The Yankees and Rays just got underway at the stadium. Jordan Montgomery allows the first two Rays to reach. He gets Nelson Cruz to pop out, and then I forget who was this at the plate, Jake. It hits a bomb.
Yandy Diaz, but let's give Ty some credit. Mid-story was able to do some play-by-play for the Yankees. I think Michael Kay better watch out.
It's a big game for the Yankees, Anita. It's a big game. So Jake and I are both huge Yankee fans. We've actually purchased tickets to, in theory, the wild card game at the stadium on Tuesday night in the Bronx. So, you know, we're in the studio right now. Going crazy. So it's first and second for the Rays. It went from no outs to two outs. Hopefully they can get out of this inning unscathed. But back to the Jets. It's not been pretty so far. The quarterback hasn't played well, but the line has been a mess. The receivers are a disaster. I wonder, get your take on this. Denzel Mims, so it looks like he's finally going to suit up tomorrow. What's going on here? Because essentially he was a late first rounder. He was taken in the second round last year, but it was early second round. And somehow the Jets, who are dead last in all of football in scoring, 6.7 points per game the Jet offense is producing. They thought they were better without this guy for the first 3 weeks? It makes no sense.
Yeah, so here's the thing, and I spoke to a few scouts about this, and this goes to what we just talked about, right? Like, it's really important that you bring in a general manager at the same time that you bring in a head coach, and the two agree to a team identity, and along with the offensive and defensive coordinators, everybody agrees to a certain scheme. And so therefore, once you have committed to that and you know what you are doing scheme-wise, schematically, thank you very much. So once you decide that, then your scouting department, scouts and drafts for players that best suit and fit your scheme. Mims does not fit the scheme. Mims does not fit. Mims was drafted before LaFleur came in. Mims can't play in the scheme. He can't play in the scheme. It's not his skill set. So you ask what's going on, that's what's going on.
You took this guy early in the second round last year. These are players you hope turn into stars.
But LaFleur and Sala were not here. So you
Sala
took him.
Was here.
You took him.
Douglas was here, not Sala.
Douglas was here, but you're not hearing me. This is a different offense. You drafted Mims for an offense that was not here yet. I guarantee you that if LaFleur and Sala were here, Mims would have never been drafted. He doesn't fit this offense.
But if he's talented.
He doesn't fit. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He doesn't fit this offense. He doesn't fit this scheme.
I am always of the belief that unless you are this well, and let's not pretend that this is some Josh McDaniels, Bill Belichick operation they're running here in New York. These guys have not established themselves you know, as superior offensive minds, with all due respect to LaFleur and Salah. Like, I'm always of the mindset that you can take players, talented players, and learn to incorporate them, especially on a roster that's bereft of talent. Like, the Jets don't exactly have, you know, a bunch of Antonio Browns and Calvin Johnson running around. Like, the receiving core is so, like, thin, especially considering all the injuries. Like, you got to find a way to make it work. You have to at least give him the first, you know, 8 weeks of the season. For him to not play at all the first 12 quarters, I think, I mean, there is no explanation for that. I get what you're saying
I'm giving you an explanation. I get it. You're not believing it.
No, it's not that I don't believe it. It's not that I don't believe it. It's just that I can't comprehend it in a way that it makes sense that these guys, who, again, you're not like the best offensive minds of all time, where we can just trust and believe that your method's going to work. Your offense is averaging, I just said, under 7 points per game. So clearly what you're doing so far hasn't worked anyway. To take a guy that early in the draft, and I get maybe they wouldn't have taken him if these guys were here. You got to find a way to make it work. I'm also frustrated because after I just showed that exuberance on the play that Gallo made, Montgomery gives up a 3-run home run. Sorry, the Yankees are down 3-0.
Oh, stop! No!
They're down 3-0.
Come on, man.
Yeah, not a great situation to be in. They just can't beat the Rays for some reason. I don't know what it is. The Yankees just cannot beat Tampa. It's early. You still got 27 outs to go. I don't want to, you know, punt on the game, but to be down 3-0 and this guy's coming in now. Baz, he's got a 1.69 ERA. He's only started two games, but apparently he's lethal. He's a former number one pick. Oh, Lord. He's an Olympian. Oh, my God. It's frustrating, Anita.
I hear you. I hear you.
All right, Jake, save us, please.
All right, well, Brandon Lau definitely took some wind out of my sails with his 37th home run. As Ty mentioned, the Yankees now trail 3-0, but 27 outs. Let's have some faith. But my story has to deal with a date, and I want to know, Anita, if this date sounds familiar to you. It's January 1st, 2017. Do you know what relevance that has in New York sports?
I do not. Not off the top of my head. I'm sorry.
It's all right. A lot of people probably don't, because it's a long time ago. January 1st, 2017 is actually the last time in the regular season that the Giants were above 500. Isn't that amazing to think about?
Wow.
They haven't been over 500 since January 1st, 2017, which was the last game right before the boat trip. So we all remember the infamous boat trip. It's been so long. And actually, the earliest that the Giants can actually be over 500 again is October 24th. But as we mentioned in the last segment, their next few games at New Orleans, at Dallas versus the Rams, at Kansas City, I don't see a win coming, you know, anytime soon. So it's most likely that the Giants will go at least 5 years of never being over 500. Certainly a fall from grace. Joe Judge, 6-13 under him. And I don't see it getting any better anytime soon.
It's very, very, very frustrating. That's for sure. And those statistics.
I'm sorry, Anita, you can finish.
No. I'm just saying those statistics make it, you know, even worse. I mean, let's be honest.
It's depressing. And I don't know if this is an unpopular opinion or if it makes me a fraud, but the Giants have beaten me down so much over the last several years that I don't like saying it, but I care more about my fantasy football team than I do the New York Football Giants. Oh. And I know that's a bad take, and it might make me a fraud Giants fan, but the last 5 years, by week four, the Giants are out of it. I know last year was a weird circumstance. They had a terrible record, but still were in it till the final week. But at least with fantasy football, you know, it's my money. I'm very invested in it. But the Giants, they give me nothing. But good news is that the Giants do have something, which is the Bears' first-round pick next year. And it doesn't seem like Fields and the Bears are doing much better. They're 1-2, but they're one of those teams that seems like they're going to be a big disappointment this year. So if everything goes to plan, hopefully, you know, I don't see the Giants, you know, making any progress. So if they stink and the Bears stink, they might theoretically have two top, you know, five picks in the draft next year. And maybe then the Giants can make some progress.
It's really going to be interesting to see what Nagy does this week with the Bears going up against the Detroit Lions. I like the Lions. I like the Lions getting three, and I don't have a problem. I'm going to tease them up to +9. You know, Nagy came out and said, you know, he's not making a decision on who's starting. You know, it's going to be a game time decision. Who's going to be the starting quarterback?
Ridiculous.
It is. It is just so ridiculous. And just the lack of an offensive game plan for Justin Fields last week was an absolute embarrassment.
And that line did him no favors. Oh,
well,
man.
I mean, it was worse than the line. It was worse than the line. You know, I made a lot of calls this week to a few executives and coaches in around the NFL. I just wanted to kind of get a gauge what they thought. And again, I'm not reporting anything, but, you know, there's some talk and speculation within the NFL that, you know, it was somewhat sabotage. Apparently Nagy and the general manager do not see eye to eye. There's some talk and speculation out there that Nagy did not want Justin Fields, and he feels like he's out the door. And if he's out the door, well, then guess what? Mr. General Manager, you're out the door too. And so he did nothing to help his pick of Justin Fields. So we'll see, you know, what happens and how this progresses. But I'll tell you what, if Justin Fields starts tomorrow against the Lions and there's not a different offensive scheme, Nagy should never be hired by another NFL team again.
Mm.
Because now you're jeopardizing the mental well-being, the health of Justin Fields. Justin Fields now becomes a casualty in your beef with the general manager or your beef with the organization. So I'm really curious what happens tomorrow with that Bears offensive scheme.
Just a couple of quick notes to end here. Schefter, as we mentioned earlier, reporting that Gronk is out tomorrow. He's not making the trip to New England because of the rib injury. I believe he was questionable earlier in the week. Mm-hmm. Then he was downgraded to doubtful yesterday, and now he's been, you know, downgraded to out. So a lot of interest. It's not just, you know, Brady versus Belichick. You've got Antonio Brown returning. You've got, you know, it would have been Gronk returning, and he decided he would rather retire than play for the Pats. And then he, of course, he comes back last year and wins the Super Bowl. But he's out. Chase Claypool for the Steelers out against the Packers, according to Field Yates. The Chiefs have downgraded Frank Clark, who's dealing with a hamstring injury, to out for their game against the Eagles, according to Schefter. And then he also says that Quentin Nelson of the Colts going to the IR. So not good for Indy. Not good.
Wow.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Huh. Check it out now. Huh. No doubt now.
Anita Marks with you on this Saturday afternoon. That music only means one thing. It's time for Cynthia Freeland. You see her all over the NFL Network. I was watching you last night, boo. How many times you guys said sexy last night? Over under.
You know, I think it was probably like 100. So I'm going to take the over on that too, though.
Man, it's a fun show. It's a fun show. But here's the thing: you guys agree too much. Somebody has to be the contrarian. You guys, somebody has to be the contrarian. Like, you guys agree too much. Too much. You're all picking the same teams. Too much. I want to hear the other view.
Well, look, we don't talk to each other ahead of the show. So, like, the first time we're all in the same room with each other is literally, like, the production meeting before, and nobody tells their picks. So we don't even know. It happens, like, on the fly.
Interesting. Again, Cynthia Freeland joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. She's got a great show on Friday night. So I get done with Daily Wager. I order my delivery dinner. I eat it while I watch you, and then I'm back on radio from 10 to midnight. So it's my little break.
Girl, nobody works harder than you.
And I get my little fill of Cynthia Freeland. Hey, listen, I'm gonna brag just because I know it's early. I think it's a combination of lucky and good I'm 66% with my picks in 3 weeks.
Let's go. I love it.
Yeah.
Keep
But, but wait, you're going to, here's, I'm 64 and 35. I've made 60, I've made 64 picks in 3 weeks, boo.
Let's go. Keep going.
Yeah.
See, the thing is, people don't understand. I want people to understand. Like, when you make that many picks, you usually aren't that high. Like, people can be 66 and they make three picks, right? Then they get two of the three right. But when you make more picks, you're, like, that's really, really impressive because the number, the volume of picks you're actually making is relevant.
God, I love you. Cynthia Freeland joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Because some people would, some people feel differently. Like, some people are like, well, you know, you have, you're winning that many because you're picking so many games. And by the way, it's not games.
I know.
Majority of it is prop bets. And I just do a deep dive. I spend a lot of, listen, I always say this, like you and Jenny Vrentis are probably the two most intelligent people I know in my life. I don't have an algorithm. I'm not as wise as you. I just spend a lot of time researching. And so it's just,
first
it's a different
of all,
way.
Yes, you are, but it must be said. I don't even know if I'm allowed to be said in the same like breath as Jenny Vrentis because she's like a freaking genius. So the
I know,
two of
I
you,
know.
I'm just lucky to know you both.
Aw, you're sweet. You're sweet. All right, let's dive into it, and let's start with the Jets. We had a lengthy conversation with a lot of our listeners. They called in a lot of frustration. Here's the thing. I wouldn't be shocked if the Jets beat the Tennessee Titans this week. I wouldn't. I'm not saying that they will. I'm not playing this game. My bet in this game is Zach Wilson over 1.5 touchdown passes. That's the only bet that I'm making in this game. I'm not touching it. But I wouldn't be shocked if the Jets won. Curious, what's game script? How do you see this game playing out, Cynthia?
I completely understand. The only thing I'm comfortable with in this game, I don't know who's going to win. I agree with you. I think the Jets could easily win this one. But the other part that I just know it's going to be, if we're doing it right, I think it's going to be a lower scoring game. And I say doing it right because why? I think that the run game needs to be established for the Jets. It has not happened yet. We've seen flashes of Michael Carter. We've seen flashes here and there. But the way to really help Zach Wilson out, to be able to get him passing for touchdowns and really reliably being in situations where he's set up for success, that they need to have some runs. Like, the run needs to happen. So I think in this matchup, this is when it could absolutely be the case. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing how the run, it doesn't need to be like, you know, you don't need to be turn into the friggin' Ravens, but it needs to be better, right? Because to set up a good passer like Zach Wilson, you need to have the threat of the run. How does play action work? Well, you need to think that there's at least going to be a chance of a run. And we know Zach Wilson's awesome using play action. And we know that this coaching staff, they can scheme for play action. So, like, I'm excited to see the run, which means I'm more confident that it's going to be a low-scoring game than almost anything else.
Interesting. The Giants and the Saints. I had Michael Triplett on with me earlier in the show. Here's my game script. Giants will not be able to run the football against the Saints. Therefore, they're going to become one-dimensional. The Saints are going to get after Danny. He's going to have to run for his life. I don't believe that this is going to be a high-scoring game either, right? Like, Alvin Kamara is carrying the rock 20 times a game. Jameis Winston is only throwing the rock 20 times a game. I don't think there's going to be a lot of points here. I think it's going to be low-scoring, but I don't see the Giants putting up more than 10 points. So, and my bet in this game, my prop bet in this game is Jones over 22.5 rushing yards because I do believe he's going to have to run for his life.
Yeah, so I'm with you. So first of all, we have the weird part about typically I can't like factor in emotions into any sort of model because there isn't enough data to support that. Unfortunately, we have like a number of data points with Sean Payton and kind of similarly structured situations where they're coming back from adversity. This is the first time back down in New Orleans since, you know, a hurricane and being displaced. And, you know, they had to make cuts on their roster and they were living in Dallas. Like, this is a lot of crap to overcome. Right. And then they didn't have their coaches for a game. So, you know, look, it's been a tough lot for them. So I'm completely with you. I don't think this becomes close. And I listened to a really awesome interview with your broadcast partner, Matthias Kiwanuka, and he will point out that defense in all of the metrics that matter, does not really rank well in any of them. So it's not a good situation here for Danny Dimes to be set up for success. But I do love him running, and he's a better passer than people give him credit for. But I actually like love watching him run because he's so fast that it's just like you just don't expect it because, you know, for whatever reason, you know, like you don't even know. But we've seen it now time in and time out, and he is a tried and true rusher, and I like it. 22, that seems low.
Over 22 and a half rushing yards for a dude who runs 22 miles an hour.
Exactly. Right.
Sign me up. Again, 56%, Cynthia Freeland.
Sign me up too.
Cynthia Freeland joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. All right, let's talk about the big game on Sunday night. And that's Tom Brady going back to Foxborough, taking on the Patriots. I like the Patriots plus 7.5, Cynthia. I like the Patriots plus 7.5.
I'm on the other side of that. My favorite thing for this is that Tom Brady's going to break the record in the first quarter. 67 or 68 yards is all he needs. Apparently, someone's getting a. Can you hear that? The sirens are at it.
Yeah, I do. I hear
apparently,
it.
Apparently, you know, lots going down here in Southern California, you know? But I think that the thing I'm most sure of in this whole game, I think Tom Brady goes for that record and gets it in the first quarter. Love that.
So I'm gonna make a wine. We haven't had a wine wager yet this season.
We need that. What are we doing? It's week.
I don't
know. What are we doing?
I don't know. What are we doing? So I will make a wine wager that I don't believe that he's going to break the record until the second quarter.
it's more likely, but I like the
quarterbacks. Quarterbacks are only averaging 200 yards a game against the Patriots. And I think Bill Belichick is going to have a lot up his sleeve. I really do. I know everybody's all gaga about Tommy, but I don't think this is good. You know, he's obviously going to break the record. I'm not saying he's not. I mean, it's 68 yards. But I do believe, you take the first quarter. I'm going to take the second quarter.
Deal.
Okay. And so for folks who, you know, aren't aware, the Patriots pass defense is quite good. Okay. Like I said, quarterbacks are only averaging 200 passing yards against them a game. Meanwhile, for the Bucs, their pass defense is god awful. Quarterbacks are averaging over 250 yards. Quarterbacks are averaging over 70% completion percentage, and they've already allowed 9 touchdown passes. So there are prop bets out there, Cynthia, that you can make that A, Mac Jones starts the game with a touchdown pass. Oh, and that he will have more at the end of the game with that plus one handicapped in, will have more touchdowns than Tom Brady. And you get that at plus 115. And there's a prop bet out there that Mac Jones starts the game with 55.5 passing yards already before one pass is thrown, okay, handicapped in, and that he will finish with more passing yards than Tom Brady. And you get that at plus 155. I'm playing both of those.
Ooh, I'm on the other side. Why? Because I think Todd Bowles, who Jets fans obviously very familiar with, you know what Todd Bowles doesn't let you do? He doesn't let you run the ball. And I think that if you can't run the ball, then like I said before, rookie quarterbacks have a much harder time if they don't have a run game to support them. So I understand. I see it. The corners, they obviously brought in a very famous corner this past week. Who knows if he's going to be ready to go. But Richard Sherman also is like a coach on the field. I hate some of the football stuff I don't like, but I agree that he is a coach on the field. But ultimately, I think that they'll have a plan for this one because I don't think Mac Jones is the kind of dynamic passer yet, at least, that they've seen, that you know, that this coach really give them a chance. He's not Matthew Stafford. Come on.
No, I'm not saying that he is. I like the matchup, and B, I like the advantage of already starting with one touchdown pass and already starting with 55.
The market's great for that.
Yeah,
the market's great for that.
So yeah, and the odds. So, so very interesting. Okay, bottle of wine. You say first quarter, I say second quarter. Yeah. In my opinion, the best game of the weekend is being overshadowed by this, and I understandably so, but that's the Rams and the Arizona Cardinals. The Rams favored by 3 here, 4.5 in some places. Hopefully you could get them at 3. How do you like this game playing out?
You know what's really funny is sometimes, so obviously you do everything with a model, with an algorithm. There's no emotion involved. It's just completely all based on kind of numbers. And this one surprised me because I have Arizona, who, by the way, Kyler Murray has not beaten these Rams. I have Arizona pulling this one off in SoFi Stadium. I'm shocked. I was shocked by that. But I got to go with, you know, I wrote my model, so I got to trust my process.
Yeah, really? Wow. So you've got Arizona here, huh?
Too. I was shocked. And it's all because of big play upside. I wouldn't be surprised in this one if we saw something we usually don't see, which is like DeAndre Hopkins maybe not necessarily always, you know, rushing off the edge maybe, or, you know, he's going to come off maybe in the slot. Some different use cases for him. So he's not just a perimeter receiver in this one. I think they're going to find a matchup to, like, stay away from Jalen Ramsey, because think about how much of a mismatch DeAndre Hopkins is when he's not lined up. Jalen's a formidable opponent and has been really good against him in the past. But I think in this one, they're like, well, why don't we just go to the other side where they're kind of missing some pieces that they didn't have before?
As always, we like to finish our conversation with you, talking all things fantasy football, and you tee up for us some of the players that are flying low on the radar. Let's start with the quarterback. Who you like?
You know, this one's interesting because I really was very, like, if Justin Fields starts against the Detroit Lions defense, then I really like Justin Fields to have a really nice comeback game, especially in daily fantasy, super underpriced. So, but because there's some weird uncertainty about whether or not he's starting, I guess I'll look elsewhere. I love Joe Burrow in the start this week, but of course you can't play him anymore. So I guess if you have to go outside of, like, maybe Kirk Cousins is still available. I think he's obviously performed really well for fantasy managers so far, but if you can use him in daily fantasy, I think this could be a good one for him.
I like Heinicke, by the way. I think Heinicke is a really sneaky good start against Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Yep, agreed. Completely agreed.
Just FYI. All right, running backs.
I'm going to go back to David Montgomery is flying too low on the radar. People are considering sitting him in their season long, and people are not going to use him for their daily fantasy. So I like that one a lot. I think a lot of people are maybe overlooking him. And then when I look at DFS pricing, Alvin Kamara, just go take all of the shares of him because he's not even the highest priced running back of the week. And then, of course, you could look at Chuba Hubbard as well because somebody's got to have the run the rock for the Panthers in Christian McCaffrey's absence.
Here's a sneaky good prop bet for you. Royce Freeman, anytime touchdown at +250.
Oh, I love that. Anytime doesn't need to be. Yeah, of course. I love it.
Anytime touchdown at plus. Yep. Yep. Bring in a vet. Make sure you don't fumble the ball against the Dallas Cowboys. All right. Wide receiver. Who do you like?
So wide receiver. Okay. I'm looking at this one and I'm looking for some plays. Now, maybe you aren't with me on this one because we've seen Cooper Kupp get maybe all of the targets. But I think in daily fantasy, if you're looking for something interesting, I think Robert Woods could have a bigger game. I don't think that now that there's been three games of film on Cooper Kupp being completely open, like nobody covering him, I don't think that's going to happen this week, which leaves the door open for someone else, like a Robert Woods. So I think that one's a nice, like, sneaky good play. And then I think also you could look, I know it's going to sound a little nuts, but, you know, I'm looking a little bit at the Jets, and I'm really interested in. I think people are forgetting that they need to start Corey Davis. This is a revenge game for him as well. You don't think they have something dialed up in the end zone for him?
Ooh, I like that one. And last but not least, tight end. What you got?
Ooh, Cole Kmet. I'm going a lot of Bears, I think, if you notice, because I'm targeting the Detroit Lions defense. And I think Cole Kmet sees the end zone because, you know what, tight ends are always top 10 scorers against the Lions. And Cole Kmet, especially in daily, is like rock bottom pricing. So I really like that one as well.
Great stuff as always. Enjoy week 4.
You too. And keep crushing. I'm so proud of you.
Thanks, my friend. Anita Marks with you. It is that time. Joe Wiz on 98.7 ESPN brought to you by PlaySugarHouse.com. Joe, how do you like your entry song?
I love the song. I like the Big Money song. I like the Big Money song, but I'm okay with this song. So, you know, I'm paying attention.
Hold on. Ty wants to explain the song.
So RIP to a hip hop legend, Biz Markie. Biz Markie is the artist on that song. He recently passed away. So I thought, you know, Biz Markie, Joe Wiz. No, you know, nobody beats the Wiz. Nobody beats the Biz is the name of the song. So nobody beats Joe Wiz.
I love it. I'm on the air. It's funny. Today I had so much adrenaline this morning. I thought I was crazy. They were calling me. Remember Crazy Eddie? They were calling me Crazy Wiz this morning because I was yelling and screaming all morning.
Yeah, we were listening to you this morning. So the name of the song is "Nobody Beats the Biz." I'm here to say no one beats Joe Wiz. So that's why we went with that song.
There you go. And I love it, Ty. I'm gonna root your Yankees in, and you know, hopefully they'll get a win tomorrow because it isn't happening today, obviously.
Abby. All right, Joe. As always, we'd like to kick it off with some college football picks and plays from you. What do you like this afternoon?
Well, I'm going to save the suspense. You know, I was all over Twitter and all over Instagram on my handle, Joe with Sports, and I said I had a big dog alert, you know. And people have been texting me. I'm like, well, you have to listen to Anita at 2:30. I'm going to give out the big dog alert. I think there's a potential upset brewing. We have to go far west, about 2,500 miles west of Hoboken. We have to go on I-80 and go all the way to Albertson Stadium in Boise, Idaho. One of these obscure games that nobody knows about. But people know about Boise and Nevada, but not that much. And here we have a line here. Boise's favored by 4. The total's at 59. I think that Nevada has a chance to win the game outright. You know, against the spread, they're 8-2 in the last 10 meetings against Boise. And Boise's not the same team since they lost the head coach who moved on to Auburn. And I just think that Nevada, I feel it's a live dog. They're getting 4, and I think they have a chance to win a game outright. So I took them +4. And similar to the game I put out on Twitter on Thursday, which when I bet against your Miami team, and took Virginia +4 against the Hurricanes.
I got my butt handed to me last night in that Iowa-Maryland game. I had the under. That was my best bet on Daily Wager last night. And then, fear the turtle. I mean, dude just wet the bed in the second quarter. 3 interceptions in the second quarter alone just totally changed the entire dynamic of that game. And then Maryland stopped playing defense. It was horror. I had to turn it off. I was getting sick to my stomach.
I agree. I thought that game was going to be a low-scoring defensive game. The total was at 47.5, and I didn't watch the game. Now you're telling me what happened. I obviously explains it. But, you know, whenever you have turnovers, it changes the whole complex of the game. But, you know, Iowa has a very good defense, and Maryland does as well. I figured that this was going to be one in the trenches. But if you mentioned it had 3 turnovers in the second half, that explains it all right there.
Oh, man, it was just absolutely brutal. I'll tell you some of the games that I like. You know, not that I'm a fan of him as a human being, but man, give me Ole Miss. Give me Ole Miss +14.5 today.
You know, I love it. I love it. You have 2 of the top 4 scoring teams in the nation here. There's so many storylines behind this game, Anita. And Lane Kiffin, you know, some people don't like him, but, you know, he's unbeaten. They're ranked 12 in the country. And if Matt Corral doesn't turn the ball over like Maryland did yesterday, if Matt Corral play well, I mean, I think they have a shot of definitely covering the spread. I think they can hang with the Tide here. I think this is the only obstacle that the Tide face. Matt Corral, I mean, Mississippi, their offense is leading the nation with 636 yards, 53 points per game. And from the betting perspective, Ole Miss is 11-5 against the spread last 16 meetings, Anita, and 6-2 against the spread. Last year's score, 63-48. And the year before that, 59-31. This total 79. I told people they might have 79 points at halftime.
Another game that I like is I like Cincinnati -1.5 against Notre Dame.
I think that game's in progress. I don't know the score yet, or it may have just started. I like the other side in that game. I was on the Fighting Irish the other last week when they were getting 6.5. I thought it was a trap game. I couldn't believe they were getting 6.5 on a neutral site, and they took care of Wisconsin. The Bearcats are rested. Cincinnati, Notre Dame very rarely loses at home. And Kelly is the all-time winningest coach at Notre Dame. I thought that I think that I'm riding Notre Dame. I like them, and I like them in a game. The line's really low. I seen 2-1 and right around there. That game's going to be kicking off in a few minutes. But I like the Fighting Irish in that game. I had them last week, and I'm riding them again this week.
Any other, before you move on to NFL, any other college games you like?
Well, you know, locally people in this area like to pay attention. We don't, you know, it's obviously not a big college area, but you have Rutgers playing Ohio State. And when you have this matchup here, in the old days, Ohio State used to come in here and just crush Rutgers, and the line used to be really, really high. But this Rutgers team, Greg Schiano has done a decent job with this Rutgers team. Last week they fell behind early to Michigan 21-3, but they came back and they got the cover for us. And I think the line's at 15 right now. I think that Rutgers will cover the spread against Ohio State. I'm recommending people to take the 15 against Ohio State. I thought they were overrated coming into the season, and they come back down to reality here. I like Rutgers getting the 15. I think they have a shot of covering the spread.
Again, Joe is joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. He's got a number of gambling shows here Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday as well. So let's turn our attention to the NFL. And I'm just curious to get your take on both the Giants and the Jets. Let's start with the Jets. I said this earlier. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Jets beat the Tennessee Titans. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm staying away from this game. I'm not wagering on it. Too many question marks. But what game script? How do you see this playing out? Do you have a side here?
When you look at this game here, I mean, I don't lay points on the road. Obviously, the Titans are all banged up. We know that. They've struggled against teams when they're playing in the AFC East. They're just 3-10 against the spread. The Jets, it's hard. If they could just play well in the first half, they've been outscored in the first half this year, 46-3, with 2 touchdowns and 7 turnovers. And if they can limit their mistakes, we know that the Titans like to run the ball a lot, and they're going to give the ball to Derrick Henry a lot. I think that the Jets could stay within the number. It's a tough game to bet. You know, I'm afraid. I'm very rarely afraid of a dog, Anita, but I'm afraid of the Jets. I won't lay the 7. I would make a small play on the Jets, but that would be with caution and put an asterisk next to it.
What about the Giants? The Giants heading to New Orleans. I love the Saints here. I love the Saints -7. You get them at -6.5. Great. Also, I'm going to play them in a 2-team 6-point teaser and tease them down to -1.5, -2. How are you playing this?
I like the Giants in this game here. The Giants have been competitive. Realistically, the Giants should be 2-1 with the field goal at the football team. And last week against Atlanta, they had a 14-7 lead. And Jameis Winston has been very inconsistent. Last week, Anita, in Foxborough, he was 13 of 21, 128 yards and just 2 touchdowns. I'm going to tell you a stat that you may or may not know, but since 2018, the NFL team with the best road record against the spread is the Giants. They're 17-3 against the spread since 2018. And, of course, they only played one road game so far this year. And, of course, they covered the spread there. On the other hand, you take a look at the Saints. This is their first true home game. In their first game, they played at Jacksonville. They caught Green Bay off guard, and they took care of business. Then they went to Carolina. They lost that game. And last week against New England, Jameis Winston didn't play well. Winston 2 years ago, we know what he did in Tampa. He set the NFL record for 30 interceptions. I think the Giants hang around here. I think that getting the 7, I think this could be a closer game than the spread indicates. That's my feel on it.
You know, obviously, everybody can't wait for that Sunday night game, the Patriots and the Tampa Bay and the Tampa Bay Bucks. I'm on the Patriots side. I like the Patriots +7.5. How are you playing this?
Yeah, last week I had Tampa, and I know you and I had a friendly wager, and Tampa didn't show up in L.A., and Brady, obviously, without Gronk, we know the breaking news and all that stuff here. I think this total's a bit high in here, 49. Mac Jones, really, you know, the only win he got was against the Jets, and I think that Belichick has to go with a game plan to try and keep the ball away from Tampa, easier said than done. But Tampa, like it says, prior to that loss last week, they were going into the Rams winning 10 in a row and scoring more, and had an NFL record of like 28 points or more in 9 straight games. That all came to a halt last week. Brady, obviously, there's such emotion involved with Belichick. My play in this game would be the total 49. I think it's a little high because I don't see New England score a lot of points. They just haven't done it with Mac. And I like the total to go under 49 in that game.
Before I let you go, is there what's your favorite play heading into week 4?
Wow. Well, you know, we talked about Nevada here in college football here. And a couple of other college football games that are going tonight I do like that are have a good shot of covering the spread. I like Kentucky with Stoops. Kentucky is playing Florida. That game, the line is 8 in that game. Another game tonight, Indiana's playing Penn State. Indiana's getting 12.5. I think that's too many points for Penn State. They traditionally do not cover. Indiana beat them last year. That's a nice dog. They're getting 12. In the NFL here, I mean, you look at a couple of games here. The one game that I did like, which we talked about, I know you and I disagree on it, but I do like the Giants at plus the 7.5. I'm not a Giant fan being from this area, but I do think that they have a very good realistic shot of winning, and I'm not sure why the Bears are favored over anybody. Goff hasn't played that poorly for the Lions. I think the Lions plus 3, if you can get them at that number, is a live dog as well.
Joe, thanks so much. Good luck today. Good luck week 4 in the NFL, and we'll talk to you next week.
Go dog. Thank you.
You got it. Joe Wiz, brought to you by PlaySugarHouse.com, featuring their $1 million Beat the Spread Challenge. Make spread bets each week for a shot at their $1 million weekly and season-long prize pool. Visit PlaySugarHouse.com for full details. Must be located in New Jersey, 21 years or older. Gambling problem? Again, please make sure you call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.